I don't know about you, but I'm excited to get into the book of Esther. The book of Esther is one, as we'll see this morning. I'm in Sunday morning mode. This evening is a book that challenges us. It's a book that we can see perseverance in the face of challenges, circumstances that seem dire. I've been truly looking forward to getting into the book of Esther. So let's start out, as we should, with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us the opportunity as men to gather together, Lord, to learn your word. And I pray that it falls not on deaf ears, but it falls on ears who are not only willing to listen, but hearts that are ready to obey. Father, mold and shape your vessels into the very instruments that you would like to use for your glory. Father, we are here to be students of your word. We are here to hear from you. And I pray we allow your spirit to give us understanding, and we don't forget what we hear when we go out those doors. I pray that we apply what we learn. And so, Father, we commit this time into your hands, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1. Just to give you a little background, for those of you who have received an introduction, you know that the series, lesson series, is titled "For Such a Time as This: Life Lessons from the Book of Esther." And what I want to point out here is that there are several characters within this book from which we can learn life lessons from. There's King Ahasuerus, or King Xerxes, as some translations title him, give him the name. There's Mordecai, that we can learn how to advise spiritual principles and not worldly wisdom, which is foolishness. Then there's Haman, from which we can learn what selfish advancement and what deception will lead to, its consequences. We can learn from the Jews, from the people themselves. We can learn that we are to annihilate our enemies. Not compromise nor play with them, but completely annihilate them. And then we have Esther, who is positioned by God to do his work in saving his people and giving them victory over the wicked plans of one evil person. And it wasn't just the work of him. But this evening I want to give you a bird's eye view of the character of Esther, since this book was titled after her. And we can learn much from her to apply to our Christian walk. The title of this evening's message is, you guessed it, "For Such a Time as This." Let me give you a little background, the setting. The name Xerxes, or as we see in the ESV or New King James Version, Ahasuerus, is derived from the Persian, and I cannot pronounce the actual word, but it refers to Xerxes the First, who reigned from 485 to 465 BC, so we know the time frame. From his father Darius I, he inherited the great Persian Empire that extended from India to Ethiopia. So we know our geography, we know what that covers. Xerxes himself, or Ahasuerus, said he was king over many tribes. Among the nations he listed are the Indus land and the Kushites, which is the Ethiopians. India here refers to the area drained by the Indus River. You can look that up. Pakistan, Ethiopia was a territory south of Egypt, which now is the northern part of the Sudan. This was the largest empire known at that time. The largest. This book begins with King Ahasuerus giving a banquet to show off his great possessions and great power of authority he had over his empire. And it reminds me of many banquets we see today of wealthy people who do the same exact thing. But his was 180 days long. Then he added 7 more days. He was married to Queen Vashti, who had during this long party another feast separate for the women in the palace that belonged to the king, according to Esther 1:9. It was on the last day of this extended feast that the king commanded his leading servants to go and retrieve his wife, Queen Vashti. Apparently, she was beautiful in appearance. She was a sight to behold. In today's terms, we could call her a trophy wife. And so he called his servants and said, "Go, retrieve my wife. I want her to show her off in front of all my guests." But she refused. And that set off a series of events that led to Queen Vashti being made an example to all the people of the Persian Empire that rebellious and contentious wives are not to be tolerated, because the consequences of being tolerant of this type of behavior could be seen as compromise and lead to further contempt and, as it says here in the word, wrath in plenty. So the king was advised to remove Vashti, Queen Vashti, strip her of her title of queen and seek another that would replace her. So there was a decree that was made by the king and proclaimed throughout all his kingdom that all women will give honor to their husbands, high and low alike, according to Esther 1:20. And to make a long story short, basically what took place is a beauty contest that ensued throughout the Persian Empire, and whoever won would be the next queen. Now Esther was one of the women that were chosen to be the finalists to come before the king, and he liked her so much that he had her join his harem and to be given cosmetics, as it says in the word, and to be prepared. And in 1 year, she and other finalists would come before the king and the final decision would be made. During this time, she was gaining favor, as we see in the word, with all who saw her. And when Esther was taken to King Ahasuerus into his royal palace in the 10th month, so the time was not up yet, but she was brought in during the 10th month, which is the month of, as it says in the word, Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she won grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti, according to Esther 2:16 and 17. And in the story of Esther, we have a situation where Haman is filled with pride, anger, bitterness, jealousy, and murder towards Mordecai and his people, the Israelites. You'll learn who Mordecai is. You'll understand who Haman is. But Haman comes up with this scheme to completely annihilate the Jews. But God uses Mordecai, and he uses Esther to not only protect his people, but also to gain victory over God's enemies. As far as Mordecai is concerned, he's Esther's uncle. We can see this in Esther chapter 2. Let's take a look at verse 5. And we'll read through to verse 8. Esther chapter 2, verse 5. "Now there was a Jew in Susa, the citadel, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem among the captives, carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away." He was bringing up Hadassah, that is Esther, the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father had her mother die, and when her father and her mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. So he adopted her. Verse 8, "So when the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in Susa the citadel in custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai, who had charge of the women." And so we read here who Mordecai is. And so He adopted Esther, brought her up, raised her, and now she is a woman. And she's introduced as part of the court that is going before the king. Mordecai is a picture of a man that didn't waver in difficult circumstances, as you'll see, as you go through your study. He was shrewd in his counsel towards Esther and wise in his dealings with his people's enemy, Haman. His counsel towards Esther led her to successfully enter the king's court as his queen and be the vessel used to deliver God's people from certain doom. This is who he brought up. And we'll see in Queen Esther a submission to authority, the authority of her uncle Mordecai, with respect and honor. A beautiful picture. We see in Queen Esther courage, trust, and faith expressed in her dealings with the king. We see in Queen Esther perseverance and confidence in the most extreme circumstances. We see in Queen Esther a woman of action who took full advantage of opportunity when presented to her and accomplished what God had planned and purposed for her life. This is why I was excited about getting into the book of Esther, because all these things are wrapped into this story and much more. Now, I believe that these are vital lessons. These are vital lessons to learn and apply to our lives as Christians. Principles that should encourage us and help us understand that God can do what seems impossible, to bring about His plans to completion through each and every one of you. You are whom He chooses in various situations to His glory. And we know that God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God said that He would never leave you nor forsake you, and that all things are possible through Him. The question is, do we believe that? I pray that we have a deeper faith and a deeper belief as we go through the book of Esther, as we take things to heart and we apply them in our lives. I can tell you that God's promises are always fulfilled. But we need to trust Him. We need to be courageous when placed in difficult situations, and know that God will complete what He has begun in you in His strength. Listen to this, guys. Men, in His strength, not yours. Many times when we are weak and frail and we fear and we lose courage at that time, we need to completely trust in Him and lean not on our own understanding. Sometimes when things just don't make sense, we need to trust God and do things in His strength. I'm going to ask you to pay close attention, not just tonight. The study is not about paying attention just during the time that we're together and someone is here teaching. The time to pay attention is throughout the whole course of the lesson. Because as you study daily, what you need to do is you're applying those things. It's that time that you have with the Lord, your devotional time, your study time, to where He is speaking into you. He's transforming you. He's molding you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to pay attention throughout this whole time, that you may apply things in very practical ways, that we don't over-spiritualize things, but apply them practically to our lives. We can. That's why God gave it to us. For you too have been chosen to be used as His vessel for His honor and glory for such a time as this. It's your lifetime that you can glorify Him. Whatever it may be, maybe marriage, maybe work, ministry, children, friends, leading others to Christ, whoever that may be. For such a time as this, He has set you in this place called the earth, and He's given you a specific task. And we need to take that seriously. And the benefits will resound into eternity, and you will glorify the Lord and be blessed here on earth. And I want to go through some points with you. And one is, I mentioned submission, respect and honor. Let's read in Esther chapter 2, verses 10, and then we're going to go to 20. So those are the only two verses we're going to read here. Verse 10 says, Esther had not made known her people or kindred, for Mordecai had commanded her not to make it known. If you go over to verse 20, same chapter, we read, Esther had not made known her kindred or her people as Mordecai had commanded her. For Esther obeyed Mordecai just as when she was brought up by him. Just as Esther had obeyed as she was brought up by him. Respect and honor are one of those things that seem to be reserved for heroes that fight for our country, people who do great big things for charity, or have the title of authority given to them. See him walk in, we stand at attention. We see him on TV, and they're hailed as a hero to respect and honor. But respect and honor is what we as Christians are commanded to carry out when it comes to anyone who is in authority over us. Anyone. And to demonstrate love towards our friends. And listen, what sets us apart from everyone else is that we have the ability, because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, to love our enemies. We honor, we respect, we submit to authority. Such a breath of fresh air. When I see someone that blesses their parents or a figure of authority as a child, as a teenager, and then later on in their adult years, it's a breath of fresh air. They respect and honor and submission to them, and they are courteous in both demeanor and talk, not just to their face, but behind their back as well. Esther seems to be such a person and should be an example for us as Christians. The Bible does say, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 18. In respect towards governing authority, Romans 13 tells us to be subject to, which God has allowed to be an authority. It didn't surprise him, not even that Obama is in office. Instituted by him, by the way, and whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment, according to Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Toward parents, the Bible tells us, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. By respecting and honoring, you demonstrate obedience to God's word. By respecting and honoring, you are a good testimony and example to people around you. You have a cloud of witnesses, whether you like it or not. Not only are little eyes watching you if you're a parent, if you're a father here, but you have other sets of eyes, co-workers, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ who are watching you. By respecting and honoring, you allow yourself to receive good instruction, and you grow and mature in your walk. You are strengthened. You are made wiser. Listen to the words of a father to his son. And you don't have to, but I'm going to turn to Proverbs chapter 4. I'm going to read 13 verses here. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and wherever you get, whatever you get insight. Prize her highly and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a graceful garland. She will bestow on you a beautiful crown. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many, I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the paths of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble. Finally, verse 13 says, keep hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Esther obeyed, just as she has through her upbringing. Esther listened and submitted to her uncle's words with obedience. And it not only worked to her benefit, but also to the benefit of all the Jews, for their salvation, for their deliverance. Respect and honor in submission to who God has allowed to be in authority over you is beautiful in the eyes of our Lord. Because ultimately, if done sincerely, is obedience to Him. Whatever you do unto others, you do unto me. And that brings Him glory. Secondly, courage. See your trust and faith all wrapped up in this. Let's take a look at chapter 4, verses 8 through 17. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. And Hathach went and told Esther that what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law, to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. Verse 12, and they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do, and I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Is there anything in your life that even comes close to the circumstances that Esther finds herself in this moment? I don't think so. Is your life in jeopardy if you exercise courage in carrying out your obedience of God's commandments? Will you die if you speak the truth or warn someone of impending eternal damnation and separation from God because they don't have Jesus? No. At least not in this country. Not yet. God said to Joshua, he was about to lead the Israelites into the promised land, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. And earlier in the same chapter, God told Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan. What's your Jordan? You and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. God fulfilled his promise. He fulfills his promises. And don't think for one second that Joshua did not fear. Sure, he feared. First, he was leading how many people across the Jordan into the promised land? What was the report that him and Caleb brought back? They brought back a good report, but they knew what lay ahead in that land. And there were giants. But how big are they in the sight of God? Listen, man, it's in these moments that our faith is tested. He trembled. I'm sure you tremble as well. Our faith is tested. We basically demonstrate to ourselves whether we are truly grounded in our faith, in our belief in the very Word of God, or we're making excuses, or worst of all, playing the part. Esther was in such a situation, one that could cost her life. But what we need to do is learn from her response and from her actions. Number one, do not let fear dictate your actions. Courage, as we've often heard, is not the absence of fear. It's moving forward and acting in spite of the fear. Trust in God's promises. 4:16 here in Esther says, "Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." I can relate to that. I'm going to move forward, and if I perish, I perish. It's your will. It's not mine. But I advance for the sake of the kingdom. Number two, ask for spiritual help from your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Ask for help. Men, do not be too proud to ask for help. And don't stop asking. I hope that resonates in your heart. Many of us stop short of having victory. You need to ask and keep asking. You need to keep asking before it happens. Esther asked for help. Said, "Hey, you get together all the Jews, as many as you can get together, and fast for 3 days. Do not eat or drink for 3 days. Tell everyone. I don't care who knows. Me and my girls here, we're going to do the same thing." She asked for help. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. "Go gather all of the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And me and my young women will also fast as you do." 4:16. Thirdly, identify and capture opportunity. We turn to chapter 5, starting in verse 1. "On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, in front of the king's quarters, while the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the throne room, opposite the entrance to the palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight, and he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter, and the king said to her, 'What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request?' 'It shall be given you, even to the half of my kingdom.' And Esther said, 'If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a feast that I have prepared for the king.'" We'll stop there. Identify and capture opportunity. Pray, pray, pray more for discernment. Timing is everything, men. It's very important. It's critical. Learn to speak details only when it's time. It may be a good thing. It may be appropriate, but it may not be the right time. But when it's time to speak, don't hold back. Speak. But we can see here, and we'll see the example, that you also need to learn how to speak. Turn with me to Matthew. chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We can be encouraged by this. Because as Jesus sent out his disciples, this is what he said to them. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. I hope you underline that, you highlight it, you refer back to it often, maybe even daily if you need to, because when God places certain situations, certain opportunities before us, we don't need to worry about being tongue-tied. Simple words, whatever it is, the Lord will give you at that specific hour, just as he gave to his disciples on that specific hour. For Esther, as we come back to the story, it was at that moment that she had discernment. It wasn't the time. But she asked for a banquet to be held. And she asked for Haman to be there as well. Esther discerned, and she acted upon that discernment. She did identify and capture the moment. She made the best use of it. Going over to chapter 7, verse 1. So the king and Haman went in to feast with Queen Esther. And on the second day, as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king again said to Esther, "What is your wish, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be granted me for my wish, and my people for my request. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. We had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have been silent, for our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king." Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, "Who is he? And where is he? Who has dared to do this?" And Esther said, "A foe and an enemy, this wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. I would hate to be Haman at this point. This was the beginning of the end for Haman. And it was the beginning of the end for the scheme, the plot that Haman had put together to hang Mordecai and annihilate the Jews. In fact, Haman, I don't mean to ruin the story, but Haman ends up getting shish kebabbed on the very gallows he had built for Mordecai. You guys all know the story, right? This was the beginning of the act, beginning of the end for Haman and his scheme. In fact, the Jews were allowed to defend themselves, and they ended up killing over 800 men, including the sons of Haman, just in the capital city. All in all, 75,000 enemies of the Jews were killed in one day throughout the Persian Empire. It's written in Scripture, if God is for you, who can be against you? Who can really match the wisdom and the power of God? That's who is for us. Remember that God said vengeance is his. And if God could take out more enemies of Israel by raining hail from heaven, as it says in Joshua, than what the armies of Israel had done up to that point, and spare every one of the Israelites in the middle of that hailstorm, do you not think that he will care and deliver you from whatever situation you find yourself in the midst of your enemies? Whatever it may be. Victory is in the hands of the Lord. God's faithful, men. God is faithful. Do not fear. God is with you. And his promises are trustworthy, and he will guard the apple of his eye. Each and every one of you, men, are the apple of God's eye. You are his masterpiece, his poema. You are whom he sent his son down to this earth to die in your place. You and I. But Esther, we see here, had discernment. She trusted in the Lord. She identified the right time and seized the opportunity. Here's some lessons that we can draw from this. Get to know people. Study them. And this will teach you how and when to approach them. A good time and a cause is not always the right one, as I said earlier. And it says in chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, "And on the second day, as they were drinking wine after the feast, the king again said to Esther," and then a little bit later, "then Queen Esther answered." She knew exactly when to approach the king. By the way, he was a drunk. By the way, he had many difficulties later on. And he was killed by the hands of his very people. Esther knew when he was the happiest, when he was most likely to listen and act, and she spoke with precise divine timing. And my question to you is, are you a student of people, or do you insist on having your own way and bringing across your message to people the way you want to? Listen, we need to be a humble people. We need to study people so that we understand how it is that they respond the best to what we're telling them. Men, if you're married, you need to study your wife. You need to know how to talk to your wife, when to talk to your wife. You need to learn to love on her. Are you a student of other people? Your coworkers, your friends? How about your boss? Sometimes that's the most difficult thing to do, because you have a difficult boss. Study him. Learn how to talk to your boss. Learn people. Next, we also learn the lesson of follow through with the opportunity. When asked about details, don't stop. Whether it be your faith or whether it be something else, don't freeze up with fear. This is your moment. Follow through and complete what task God has called you to complete. In verses 5 and 6 of chapter 7, "Then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther, 'Who is he and where is he? Who has dared to do this?' And Esther said," can you imagine at that point? Like a deer caught in headlights. "I don't know if I can do this." When it really comes down to pulling the trigger, pull the trigger. Seize the moment. Make best use of it. Don't freeze with fear. Move forward with courage. She replied, "A foe and enemy!" Exclamation point. She was confident. "This wicked Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. She was confident. She trusted and was bold in her truthful statement. She was faithful to complete what she was given to do. My question for you is this. Are you a faithful servant of the Most High who can be trusted to fulfill what you have been given to accomplish? Boldly, courageously, continue to advance and move forward and not be afraid of pulling the trigger when it comes down to that moment when you need to follow through with whatever has been given to you. I told you on Sunday that I failed to pull the trigger last week in a specific situation. And I know for a fact that that situation, now I look back, it's a learning lesson for me. But what a shame to not take advantage of a situation. And I tell you this because how many times are we going to fall or stumble? How many times do we get up? Every time. We learn from our past, we continue to move forward, and the next time, I pray, if given the same situation or something like that, that I will act differently. I will respond. Regardless of difficulties, enemies, or threats, we are to advance and follow through. Listen, each one of us are entrusted as stewards of God's grace and the gospel. We are supposed to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ every moment of every day. In essence, we're given daily missions to accomplish and lifelong familial missions to accomplish as well. We need to learn how to identify, capture, and complete the opportunities that God gives to us to His glory. So in conclusion, I believe that these are vital lessons, as I said at the beginning. Vital. I pray that you apply these lessons to your life. That at the end of this series, that you're not the same person as you were when you started. You continue to grow and mature. That you learn that God can do the impossible, to bring about His plans in such a way that you cannot take credit for them, but give Him complete credit. I pray that you pay close attention as you go through these lessons. Edify each other. Build each other up. And the benefits will resound in eternity and glorify God on earth. I want to leave you with this story. Lately, I've been studying the life of Billy Graham. There may be a few things you didn't know about this great evangelist that I think would benefit you and help you understand what God can do through a humble, willing, and faithful servant. He attended one semester of Bible college before being told that he would never amount to anything. He left that college and attended another. God demonstrated that He has used the foolish things to confound the wise and showered Billy with favor as he continued in what he knew was his calling by God, even though men had mocked him. Billy Graham knew he was called to be an evangelist for such a time as this. In fact, Billy played second fiddle to a man named Charles Templeton, with whom they filled up football stadiums and evangelized thousands of people. They were there to proclaim the gospel, but it was Charles they came to see. Billy Graham was just the warm-up act. When Charles denounced his faith, God elevated Billy Graham and empowered him to do what he has done for many decades throughout the world and led thousands Christ. Billy Graham stood when everyone else fell with fear. The question this evening, remember this, will you stand? Will you stand? And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knows whether you have come into this vapor that we called life for such a time as this, for whatever God wants to accomplish in your life. Pursue it with a passion. Do not give up. Trust in the Lord. He will direct your paths. So what is your response to the gift of grace and the stewardship of your gifts? And I pray that you continue to build confidence, not in yourself, but in the Lord. And with stories like this, that you can walk away and not be fearful of taking advantage of specific moments that He has given and privileged you with. Let's pray. Father, we thank You this evening for, Lord, for what You've begun in this lesson. We come to You as Your servants, as open vessels to receive from You Your word, Your promises. And I pray, Lord, that You give us feet that will move forward and hands that will reach forward, minds that completely trust in You, hearts that are given over to the pursuit of holiness and righteousness, and a will that desires to fulfill Your plans and purposes in our lives. Lord, we ask for forgiveness for the sins that we've committed, for the times that we've faltered. Even today, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. We come to our knees. We drop to our knees. We come before the cross where You paid for all those things. And we would ask one more time to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to cause us to fear You more than men, and that we would go out and boldly proclaim the gospel, bring others to salvation in Your Son, Jesus Christ, to lead our wives and our children in the truth. Take the time to do so. Pray that we take the time to minister to each other, and we take full advantage also of the time that You've given to us here on Tuesday nights to gather together and learn. May we apply it all to Your glory. And I thank You ahead of time for what You're going to do, for Your word does not return void. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.